Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Well, good afternoon. I hope things are clear. A couple of changes in the cell phone here. This is Rob Christensen with another episode of Invisible Secrets, Invisible Powers. And the topic for today is Between Truth and Power, the Spiritual Battle. And what prompted this is just a curiosity back from September 11, 2019, when I was very excited about the fire commissioners led by Mr. Joya to an elected body to come out and tell the truth about 9/11 and to back a lawsuit, actually a grand jury hearing, as well as lawsuits in regard to 9/11 to get the truth out. So given these times, first of all, my prayers and hopes and, you know, it's a spiritual time for all of us. It's an awakening time. And it's my opinion that the power structure is playing its cards because of the desperation they're in. The so-called evil powers at the top that have climbed their way up the top, the hierarchy that, you know, is creating the malarkey. So, aside, you know, I want to cover more about the COVID virus, obviously, but again, my thoughts and prayers go out to all who are suffering right now, as personally, I'm still at work and grateful for that, and in a situation that I will continue to work and be paid. So it's hard for me to imagine what people are facing right now who are suddenly unemployed. And personally, as you know, I put a crimp into preparation for this blog today. I just drove 40 hours back and forth from Minnesota to Utah and back. I had to stop halfway, of course, and I'm not much for sleeping at rest stops. So we used a hotel with the thought that, you know, what's it going to be like? This is got virus and germs all over the place. And, you know, it's open in Kearney, Nebraska. But, you know, is it even proper to be there? My wife and I were discussing this. And personally, I didn't have much problem with it. And reality really sets in where when we got there at 10:30 at night the other day, I saw only 5 cars in the lot with this long row on the west side of hotel rooms. And it's really amazing how vacant this convention center. It's not just a hotel. It's a convention center with four ballrooms, totally vacant. And, you know, you got to get a little humor with things. So two movies came to mind. Maybe some of you can think of it. If you're walking down a vast hallway of a carpeted hotel with all its art and beauty and, you know, antique furniture, etc., a beautiful inn, a tropical inn with pool surrounding, but nobody there. Well, the first thing I thought of was the movie, maybe you can guess, The Shining. A really gory, ugly, horrific movie, but, you know, popular to the nth degree. So many people have seen that movie. And I also thought, on a lighter side, another movie, Beauty and the Beast, where this castle, this inn, is abandoned because of a curse where this prince was converted to a beast. So people didn't go there anymore, and everything closed down. And in the kitchen, they were celebrating the fact that this beautiful woman would come and visit the prince, and they were all dancing. Kitchenware was dancing. I got a kick out of that movie. And I'm sure a bunch of us did too, because Beauty and the Beast was a very popular movie as well. So that's the light side. But on the darker side of things, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, no doubt. And somehow we've seen a lot of miracles already as people are awakening to the reality of a world that's collapsing, of a system that's collapsing. So anyways, I'll go into it and just kind of read through my email that capsulizes what this blog is about. So inspired by the 9/11 truth movement, I found a video hosted by 9/11 Legal Committee board member Barbara Honegger. She does an outstanding job of framing why it is that ongoing legal battles for justice are so important. She also reveals some very credible facts that have surfaced surrounding the 9/11 event. I will also update COVID-19 evidence in the historical context for biowarfare provided by Dane Wigington, of the director of geoengineeringwatch.org. For example, did you know that the Spanish flu is not a flu? Again, on the mainstream news and all news, there's been a lot of talk or discussion about the past pandemic, the Spanish flu, which was in the, 1920, somewhere, the time of World War I. Well, in Dane's recent broadcast, a couple times he's mentioned and gone into detail about the so-called Spanish flu pandemic. It was really a pneumonia likely brought into Europe from American troops during World War I. And by the way, it was Fort Riley where it originated. I'll go into that later. The conditions then allowed the disease to spread like wildfire once our troops were in Europe from Kansas. By the way, weather conditions for COVID are best when mildly cool. Yes, there is conjecture to connect many dots, but at some point, the connections overwhelmingly point to evil acts of humanity, not nature. Ultimately, the greatest lies are in the skies, which connects to biowarfare. The legal battle continues, and a new preview of the documentary, The Dimming, I've long awaited for this, and I hope it comes about in spite of all the difficulties. The Dimming features the direct measurement of aerosol trails, the scientific indisputable reality that what we see in the skies being making the lines turning into clouds has materials in it, like metallic nanoparticles. Things that we're breathing, things that get in the rain, things that contaminate the soil, et cetera, et cetera. Direct measurements in this dimming. So I'm very excited that after the original director was possibly murdered, but whatever the case, he died of a heart attack. So Mr. Wigington had to find a new director, and he didn't have to start over. He had enough records, even though what he sent in the mail disappeared. And this is, I'm sure, FedEx mail that's guaranteed. Anyways, nothing will stop this man named Wigington. So my hopes and prayers go out to his efforts and the team efforts and all of our efforts to get the truth out about the lies in the sky and shine a light through this dimming effect. And so please investigate this four-minute video on geoengineeringwatch.org. You can simply type in the search bar, the dimming, or it should be right in front of you somewhere near the top columns on the right side. In fact, in the most recent broadcast, you can find the four-minute video easily and just click it. Which reminds me, too, speaking of the dimming, at this time it's raining in St. Paul, Minnesota. And what I've heard from bloggers all over the world, or I've read from them, is that indeed, as this global pandemic goes on and we're shutting down the whole globe in many ways, what continues is geoengineering operations. Aerosol spraying is continuing. So that has not stopped. Now, blessing in disguise, though, is that a crisis like this, we do learn to adapt to ways of the future, inevitably. The biggest issue of all is the heating of the globe, which can be exponential in the very near future, which is, you know, frightening to think about. But we just take one step at a time. And again, that is the overriding threat of all. Is you know, the heating of the planet, and like a bellows to a fireplace, global engineering multiplies the effect. Or it, you know, its purported fake reality is that by bouncing particles or bouncing the sun's rays off light scattering particles sprayed in the sky, that will help us. But as Dane says, all available data indicate that it's doing just the opposite, and it's multiplying the heating effect on the planet. So I won't go into that right now. But ultimately, or let me say, put it this way, let's get into Barbara Honegger, because she provides a glimpse of what can happen with a serendipitous, that's a fancy word I use, but in her video, she talks about how an idea that she sparked became a reality for international law. In other words, she woke up one morning and said, this is what I'm going to do. She collaborated with five individuals. The job got done. Sovereign immunity, which is a bedrock of international law, was altered. It's not complete, but it's just amazing what this team of five people did in such a short time, even though it was a 14-year-old battle to get the truth out. They won. They got the truth out. So even against what's seeming against all odds, you know, 14 years of frustration. This idea sparked by Barbara was what an exciting breakthrough. So I want to share some of that positivity. And I'm going to refer to notes. I'm not as organized as I'd like to be after 40 hours of driving in 4 days and not moving around much. So it'll start out with Karl Rove's press conference response to journalist Ron Suskin. That's how Barbara opens this video. Karl Rove being the Republican advance man, you know, in several presidential campaigns and part of the administration for years. And Also, Barbara Honegger's 9/11 conference highlights, which I just gave you a synopsis of, and Global Alert News on the indisputable physical facts on COVID-19. In other words, when scientists take an electron microscope or imaging technology to get 3D images of this virus and so forth, they know so much about what the virus should look like or what other coronavirus in the corona family viruses look like and how this one's different. So there's some really substantial physical facts that are indisputable, which basically indicate that COVID-19 is a manufactured virus. It's not something, some quirk of nature. And, you know, what makes it so hard to sort truth from falsehood is that there are so many compelling ways to blame nature for this problem. And one of the words that it took me a while in my old age to recall is, excuse me, I have to find it. I lost my page here. Mutation. You know, bats fly around. They carry this coronavirus. And somehow the virus mutates. Well, yes, that does happen in nature. That is credible. But it's an incredible lie when you look at the facts that are available. And often, you know, even though scientists may say them and publish them, they get censored. No doubt about it. They get censored. So, bear with me for a moment. I had the page where I was going to start Barbara's highlights, and somehow I flipped it. So I'll be with you in just a second. Okay, here we go. Well, Barbara is a journalist. She's not a lawyer, but she's worked in federal government with lawyers. So she has a lot of expertise on legalese. And she's saying that the legal battle of modern Western civilization, or the central battle of modern Western civilization, is between truth or facts and power. We can use the judicial system to shine a light of truth to dark secrets and open these secrets to the public domain. Because once you win something in court, something that, you know, the power structure wants to be kept secret, you can open it up to public consumption, you can publish it. Everybody's got access on the internet to it once that happens. That's why it's so powerful. So in October 2004, New York Times Magazine did a press conference or wrote about this press conference featuring Karl Rove, again, a Republican strategist. And he was talking about reality-based community. In other words, journalism ideally exposes reality. It studies facts. It does its best to promote the truth. And reality-based community, they believe solutions emerge from judicious study of discernible reality. And journalist Ron Susskind was saying to Karl Rove, well, correct, that's enlightenment. It's a renaissance, what journalism can do. But Mr. Rove cut Ron off. And he said, that's not the way the world works anymore. We're the USA, an empire now. When we act, we create reality. So you, fact-based community, while you study that reality judiciously as you will, we'll just act again, creating our reality, your reality, which you will then study too. And that's how things will sort out. were history's actors. That is, Karl Rove, the elite, so to speak. And you all of you, will be left to study what we did. That's the attitude. That's the attitude of people who killed almost 3,000 people on 9/11. So, to set the stage for the judicial aspect of trying to bring power to truth together, folks, which is what he is saying here, is the truth doesn't matter. If it doesn't connect with the physical world, change anything. It doesn't matter. It will just weaken you and destroy your spirit. And we know that. So again, the words destroy your spirit, there's Karl Rove admitting that basically we'll do whatever we want to do. He's talking down to these very credible, well-respected journalists, saying, I'm in control now. I have power and control, and you're not going to touch it. No matter what you do, we'll just keep on creating more hell or more maelstrom. You have to run around searching, you know, for discernible truth or whatever. And so when Karl says, this will weaken your spirit, yes, in many ways it does. But that's where Barbara catches on, and that's where I have so much admiration for her, is that she frames the context of this whole thing. This is a spiritual battle between truth and power. So we're in a spiritual battle as well as a battle in the physical world. So in my belief, the central battle of modern Western civilization is between truth and power. And she goes on, Gandhi initiated his Satyagraha, which is the truth power movement, on September 11th, back in the 40s, the 1940s. And within only a few years, an evil empire, which at the time was Britain, was driven out of India, thanks to these courageous acts of Gandhi with his truth power movement, truth to power movement. So, as Gandhi says, there is no God higher than the truth. To win, we must unite truth with power, and we do that by officializing facts. Those are Barbara's words. So, one side you have the government, which is lying, but they have authority, credibility, and maybe people are skeptical about that credibility. But there's still enough credibility to lure us into this trap. And on the other hand, you have the facts or the truth. So when you get absolutely indisputable facts, like I just mentioned about Dame Wigington collecting samples of these aerosol trails, these are indisputable facts, but they're just facts. We have to officialize them. We bring truth and the power of the state together by officializing the facts, and you do that through the legal system. So, again, some of the highlights. Jane Clark has been working for years with the victims' families of 9/11. And, you know, it's interesting. She states that of all the victims in the lawsuit, like 200 families, I don't know the figure, but many families, there was one who didn't accept the money. And, you know, who didn't accept the blood money. And that was Miss Estrada, or Miss Estrada was her name. I don't have her first name handy. I'll get to it. Yeah, I guess there was 100 families in the lawsuit. It was settled, and it had to remain sealed. In other words, once you receive the money, you're done. You know, you've given a promise not to bring this out in the open anymore. So there was only Ella Mariani, not settled, and that's another name. I haven't quite understood the whole picture of that. Why are all lawsuits in New York? Well, 11 days after 9/11, law 49 U.S.C. 40101, to put it short, is the Transport Stabilization Act. So all cases had to go to the Southern District of New York. And by the way, Commissioner Gioia, the fire commissioner, who's in on supporting and backing the federal grand jury to open up reinvestigation of 9/11, he is the leader of the five Southern District commissioners. So here's a man from an elected body in a very powerful position as a tool to bring truth to power. And he's done a great job of it. So other than the lawsuit, you have to have discovery to bring it about. And there was no discovery there on this lawsuit for the victims. Insurance companies and corporations. Well, there's some more discovery there that's been sealed. And then other lawsuits to foreign governments like Saudi Arabia. And Saudi, this is still pending, but there's some more information of progress on that. So again, there's a lot of barriers and hoops and ladders to climb to get to the truth using the judicial system. But I'll continue on to show, you know, a great example of courage, creativity, relentless, you know, energy to get through these barriers by some of the people, including Barbara Honegger. And by the way, I just outlined here too that in the current grand jury hearing to reopen 9/11, they've now done the mandamus clause. In other words, as expected, even though this grand jury lawsuit came about, the evidence of like building the seven falling in 7 seconds by an office fire, you know, there was so much indisputable proof that they had to allow this grand jury hearing because the judge couldn't, or the federal attorney couldn't turn it down. It was just too overwhelming, too many credible experts where, you know, it's facts, power, where the power can no longer hide. So the federal attorney did agree to open up this federal grand jury. But no surprise now, after a lot of stalling, the mandamus clause is put, where the people doing this lawsuit, if the federal attorney is not doing his job, then they can say, well, we can't know everything in this closed jury of citizens. But what you have to do is at least tell us what's going on. You have to highlight, you know, what you've done. Because if you're not doing your job, this is our means to recourse, the mandamus clause. We can make you explain what's going on if you're not, you know, getting back to us, if you're just keeping things secret. So a very important tool, and I'll keep people up to date on that. There's been 28 pages of redacted material in the 9/11 Commission report done in 2004. So the victims, these 100 families have been begging. It's like, come on. 28 pages, a whole chapter of this report not revealed, which they, as they understood, was about Saudi Arabia involvement in 9/11, because as you know, supposedly by plot, Saudi Arabia was at least involved. Again, this is only at the plot level, because there's no proof whatsoever, direct proof, that these hijackers did what they did. So at minimum, they want to open up how Saudi Arabia in this chapter was involved in 9/11. So for 14 years, they've struggled. And it was all the way till 2016 as the election, presidential elections were going on, when they finally got some traction. So it was in the Florida news. It was suing the FBI, 80,000 pages about the Saudi family. You know, there's from all directions, things are going on. And 30 lawyers in a monthly meeting, Susan Watkins, organizing lawyers, April 2014. So groups were gathering around this time, lawyers collaborating on 9/11 as to how we can open this up. And sadly, and suspiciously, in 2014, one of the main leader, Susan Watkins, was found dead hanging. Again, very suspicious. That's something she would not have done. But, you know, life is a risk. We go forward to get the truth, you know, we take risks. Otherwise, as has been said, it's a betrayal if you know the truth and don't reveal it. So some layers dropped at that time, and then they worked their way back. Nick Harrison took over this lawyers committee for 9/11 inquiry. And it helped the public, law enforcement, and Congress. You know, the idea is to educate these entities about the questions of 9/11. And there's also a charitable side to this, too. Again, the families, the victims' families, to get money to them. So the Motley Rice lawsuit takes care of this 14-year effort. That's the title of the lawsuit. And it was September 11th in 2016, their efforts to get at these 28 pages where I guess they brought this lawsuit. And, okay, Terry Strada, that's the full name of the person who represented family members to get at the redacted chapters. Again, representing that other person that I mentioned that was the sole holdout for 9/11 not to receive the money because it was blood money. So the problem with what this group had to get those 28 pages is if it is in regard to Saudi Arabia, it's blocked by what's called sovereign immunity. So it's a fundamental bedrock of international law. So any nation state, UN recognized, can do what it wants. No jurisdiction. It's a get out of jail for a free ticket, according to Barbara Honegger. So if there's evidence against Saudi in the conspiracy, conspiring to do 9/11, that information can't reveal because of sovereign immunity, that Saudi can say, well, no, you can't investigate us because we have sovereign immunity. So as the 2016 election approached, former Senator Mike Gravel of Alaska, he read the Pentagon Papers to Congress because Congress has a clause that says regardless of how you get information, legal or non-legal, in Congress, you are free of speech to read it. So it was well-placed constitutional law or foundation here that says, you know, regardless if information's critical, we don't care how you got it. In Congress, it must be shared. Because if it's true, it has to be shared. And so he read the Pentagon Papers. Nixon, of course, I'm sure didn't like this. So he was put under the gun, so to speak, in a lawsuit. And Gravel had to defend himself. Senator Gravel of Alaska defended himself with Gravel versus the U.S. And, you know, for goodness sakes, as that truth did come out, there was a momentous support for the truth, and Gravel won against the wishes of the Nixon administration. So by Senator Gravel reading, even from memory, because from what I understand, you weren't allowed any notes in the Senate chamber. You had to do it on memory. He had the information memorized so well, and it compelled the Senate and Congress to give this information to the public. And of course, once given to the public, the momentum came about through the judicial system that put a stop to the Vietnam War. So a big step from Senator Gravel. So he got them, Senator Gravel got these papers illegally, but he started reading them. And it was really neat in Barbara's mind at, when was this? Well, a while back, I guess this was around 2016, but she wanted to give this example. She said, okay, it's 2016, 14 years, and these families that have done this lawsuit to open up against international law, which is the international immunity or sovereign immunity, she said, how can I get out of this? How can we break this barrier? And she hatched out an idea, because remember, Mike Gravel was back in the Nixon administration, but by serendipity or luck, whatever you want to call it, things that are meant to be, she knew Senator Mike Gravel when she lived in Alaska, and both Gravel and Honegger were now living in around, you know, in 2016, or were living in California, and they were actually neighbors somewhat. Mr. Gravel lived down the street, not too far, so an easy contact. And he was eager to help Barbara work on this international law of sovereign immunity to overcome it. Something's wrong here if a criminal went against the United States citizens and they don't have to say nothing. So from there, Mr. Gravel was more than happy to help. And she called Jane, and I don't have her last name at the moment. When I find it, I'll give it to you. But Jane was the leader of the 9/11 victims' families that, you know, pursuing this 14-year effort to open up international law. And Jane had this idea once. She was excited and said, let's go with Mr. Gravel. Let's go and see what we can do. I think this is doable, because Mr. Gravel he's already won a domestic case. There's no reason we can't use this guy to win an international case. So Jane contacted Nick Harrison, and Nick Harrison was the leader of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Truth. And Nick had a great idea in support. He was excited as well. He said, let me do a legal review on this caste law that this lawsuit, which resulted in, you know, the victory for Mr. Gravel, allowing him to speak out about 9/11. So Mr. Gravel himself wasn't aware of this article that you can do, this legal review. But by writing a legal review, you have a right to take that information to Congress. So they found all kinds of facts to back up what they wanted to get at, how unfair it was to have another nation block you from the truth. So this legal review, along with Mike Gravel's memory of those 26 pages of the 9/11 Commission report, it was such that he had all that information and he had the legal right to go to Congress and give that information out and spill it all out on the floor. And guess what? Bipartisan support, they couldn't get around it. It's just too compelling. These are indisputable facts that were in this law review that support free speech. Even, you know, as Mike Gravel tamed originally the redacted chapter, he got that illegally. But again, freedom of speech protected him. He won that lawsuit against the federal government. So here's the same guy from the Nixon administration coming back now to 2016 and presenting his information. And sure enough, Congress was able to pass a law called Justice Against Terrorism Act, JUSTA in short. And President Obama at the time, it's no surprise, he vetoed this proposed law, Justice Against Terrorism Act. He vetoed it. Again, Congress stepped up, united against the veto, and easily overrode it. So 6,000 9/11 families were affected by this law. And after the veto overrode, it was like an earthquake in international jurisprudence. So all except USA, and USA should be part of this, but they're not, but it's a big step. When credible evidence is there, overt or covert, the immunity is stopped. So that's the earthquake. Now Saudi Arabia has to fess up. And it's against the citizens. So 9/8 documents, September 8th, documents in Saudi lawsuit, Trump chose to shield, invoking the state's secret privilege, require Attorney General Barr, the judge in the case, delayed till 9/12. Yeah, this is 2019, the 12th of September. Thereafter, the Justice Department said FBI will keep Saudi information from public. So, you know, you could ask the question, why a grand jury in U.S. Constitution and debate? It's mentioned in the Constitution. It's the only source of indictment by a federal prosecutor. So the Supreme Court decision by conservative Judge Antonin Scalia, the federal grand jury are the fourth United States citizen, he said. And this is good. The federal grand jury is like a U.S. citizen sitting in with all the federal branches. It's the people's branch of the federal government, co-equal to Congress, with the president and the executive branch and all qualifying authorities and the whole system, including the Supreme Court itself. So that's quite a statement of how powerful this grand jury is. Even though it's secret, they can go through and get this vital information that requires a cloistered group, because these things take a while. And I'm going to pause here for a moment. I'd welcome any response from anyone. Got to wake up the computer again because I've been talking. So I welcome a little pause, a little break. Any questions to come up, and that would be more than welcome. Okay. All right, I got to look at the time. So, again, I'm just giving an example of a very exciting, positive step where somebody gets a little brainstorm and goes with it and has the courage to hoof it and social network. And that's what we can do now. You know, I was so disappointed about Earth Day not happening. I was just looking forward to getting out a banner and a group of people that I've collected who have interest from the library and, you know, marching in a parade, making an internet splash, maybe a photo of our group. Well, it didn't happen. But again, the moral of the story here is, in spite of all the obstacles, serendipitous things happen. I like to use that fancy word. You can never know unless you try. So a lot of times when you keep trying, something good is going to fall your way. And it did for Barbara Honegger and her creative brainstorming to say, how can I solve this problem? And sure enough, the right person was there at the right time in the form of former Senator Mike Gravel. And her previous efforts and connection made it fairly easy to hook up and collaborate and change the whole bedrock of international law, at least in part. Still a long way to go. The United States should not be immune itself. Whereas the rest of the nations outside of the United States, you know, if we in the United States are attacked, then we can go after any nation in international court without their having sovereign immunity. I wanted to get back into the COVID virus now. I guess I'll talk off the top of my head pretty much. I often get lost in notes, and I apologize when I start stuttering and pausing, but the COVID-19 virus, to give you a little perspective that Dane Wigington provided in his Global Alert News, you need to investigate this. You can't trust anybody, but the fact that he can state something that's investigatable, you can look it up and see for yourself what the facts are behind it. But interestingly, the Spanish flu, it was the Rockefeller Institute for Health. I'm not quite sure what it was, but they were experimenting. And they used horses to create these bacteria cultures. And, you know, just what motive they had to do this, I don't know if it was evil or not. Maybe it was just an experiment. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some evil. You know, one could say they did this because they wanted to explore germ warfare, or they wanted to explore a vaccine that might help heal people. But anyways, out of these bacterial cultures that they grew from horses, or, you know, they apparently took the serum from horses. I lack the word since I don't have my notes. It was injected into soldiers at Fort Riley. And these soldiers, indeed, were part of the World War I effort. They were, some of those injected were sent to the battles in Europe. And they were sickened with pneumonia. So here they are, you know, trying to heal or whatever, or carrying the bacteria. And they're in the dirty trenches of the war, the worst of conditions, and they spread the virus, I mean the bacteria, like wildfire. So it became a pandemic. So all this media sensation now about the Spanish flu, which, by the way, is not a flu. It's a pneumonia, just like COVID-19 is a pneumonia. So that provides some context for, you know, the dirty secrets that need light shed upon them. So here's what I'm getting at, and this is very important. There was an article. I didn't have time to look it up. It's in one of Dane's Global Alert News from about 3 weeks ago, I believe. That article was rescinded. And what it was scientists. This is peer-reviewed. This is not just a few scientists. This is a bunch of scientists that can confirm that the COVID-19 virus, from what I understand, there's two forms of it. And, okay, and we're not talking mutations of nature here. What they found is that the coronavirus, since the scientists already know the previous coronaviruses, the families, there's like five families of these coronaviruses that are in biolabs. And by the way, biolabs are all over the place. The United States has biolabs in other countries. And one can ask, what business do we locate biolabs in other countries? You know, there's such hypocrisy when pointing the finger at China or whatever, or Iran, and, you know, they don't even have one. And by the way, I can mention too, well, I'll get into that later, but Iran and Italy, as you know, and China are the victimized nations that have pretty much gone through things from the start of this virus. But physically, the scientists found that the COVID virus is not recognizable as it was, that there's been some spliced patterns. So there's four inserts, four slight patterns. These are amino acid sequences. They can physically put this in three dimensions on you know, on image. Four inserts related very much to HIV were inserted in this COVID-19 virus that weren't there before. They were just loud and clear distinguishable inserts. Also, from MERS, there was an insert. So the question raised in the article was, well, was this done in nature? And the answer, you can guess, no way in hell. This was a biolab manufactured virus. And again, mainstream media, the elite, whatever you call the shadow people, and the people out in public who are part of the shadow people that you don't really know, you know, will find every way they can to use something like the concept of mutation, that, you know, out in nature, yes, things do mutate. Yes, there are dangerous viruses and bacteria that mutate out in nature. But clearly, 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 as Dane said, if you trace the history from the Spanish flu falsity to now, you know, the public needs to know this. And again, it's a difficult battle because, as Carl Rove says, we just throw one disaster out after another, and the people are left scrambling to find the truth. And they may find the truth eventually, but then we have another crisis, another distraction. So another very important thing that Dane said is that there are two dates. One was like a 9/11 practice in 2018, or it's either 2018 or 2019. But there was an exercise done purposely to practice for an international pandemic of something like a coronavirus. So it's as if, okay, we're going to just do exercises here because we know what we're going to do, and we're just going to make a simulated exercise to see how we would respond to coronavirus. So they're already getting practiced for laying down the virus card. And get this, it was in 2017 where the Trump administration allowed in what was previously outlawed, and that is bioweapons. You know, that it was Francis Boyle in 1989 created the law to close these labs, or, you know, not necessarily close them, but prevent the use of labs for bioterrorism. Well, in 2017, again, the Trump administration opened that up. So how creepy things can be. And take a little look here. In the last 5 minutes, I want to dwell a little bit on, you know, the scriptural thoughts and maybe reread a little bit of my poem. I had another one going, but I left it in my vehicle, so I can't get to it. But in a previous blog, you know, to me it was really interesting how prophetic this was, but in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's Christ's parable about the unjust steward and hinting, you know, the cunning and shrewdness and hinting about the Jewish people, which he was supposedly a part of at the time, or of Jewish lineage. But the point of it is that, as I'd mentioned, the protocols of the elders of Zion was made years ago, you know, well over a century ago. And if you look at it and study it, it's up to you. But the things that are said are so frightful in that they are pretty much exactly the plan that they were making back then is coming to fruition today. So, you know, one has to look at Zionism, not necessarily the Jewish faithful who believe in God and who believe in spirituality, but in a world of form, as Marion Williamson, as Eckhart Tolle, as others have said, you know, people who get lost in a world of form because form is separate tend to separate themselves so far they get lost and lose all sense of spirituality, that they're totally stuck in form. And the evil outcome, of course, is, you know, what happens to hoard and greed and steal, you know, sin at its worst, because they're lost in form and they've lost their spirituality. So
I want to go back again on the flu virus that you brought up in 1920. You know, that was referred to as a bird flu. And it came again in the 50s, and what happened was that it spread in Alaska. They was trying to find, you know, anybody or any organism that was any residue of that flu from 1920 uh-huh. in 1950. What happened was that some people in Alaska actually died from that pandemic of the bird flu, what they call the bird flu. And their bodies was frozen, and it was well preserved, and so they was able to extract that flu virus from corpses that was relatively obese because the body hadn't, you know, deteriorated because of, you know, the conditions, the element. So this bird flu that came out in 1920. In 1950, happened to have the same resemblance as this now coronavirus thing that you brought up, that they had this trial run on a pandemic, you know, what would happen. And we was hearing bits and pieces of it, you know, from different parts of the world, you know, people making runs on it, whether it was in Europe or Africa, you know, and all of a sudden it comes from out of Asia. You know, China of all places. Whereas, you know, when you look at the national population of what, 5 billion people or 3 billion, 5 billion, which is almost a third of the population of the planet. You know, you're talking about 50,000 people. It's relatively small. And in comparison, you know, even if it's 100,000, it's relatively small comparison to the gross population of that particular part of the world. And it's the same thing here. You know, you got 4 or 5 million people in New York, and you have 1,000 people, maybe 10,000, maybe 100,000 coming down with this flu, and maybe 1,000 people or 2,000 or 3,000 maybe going dying from it, and they're really, and what you're looking for is people that's already sickly, or, you know, what you call cancer survivors, or probably on dialysis and things like that, or maybe even having illness themselves. And they
right.
were susceptible to this particular flu virus. And then we also looking at the fact that you got a lot of these people that's up under this duress, and the family members are not able to be with the loved ones that's going through this, that they're saying that's all of a sudden dropping dead. So they have no eyewitness or anything that's going on. You see, so
yeah.
It's a lot, you know, that leave you to scratch your head and question, you
yeah.
know,
can I interrupt
really,
a second?
Mm-hmm. Huh? What's really
can I
going on?
Just a second.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure. Go ahead.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I really thank you for that, because you caught me on something. As I've clarified, don't trust me. This is something I found. But you've reminded of the complexity, which reminds me, you know, I followed Dr. Francis Boyle in my first investigation, the author of the Bioterrorism Act, who, you know, was formulating that China paid money to the United States that had the means to help them invent this virus or whatever. And then I get Dane Wigington, you know, with his contextual explanation, connecting the dots with Italy, China, and Iran, you know, hinting of possible aerosol spray as a means to spread to specific spots that are their enemies, you know, bioterrorism. So I'm so glad you brought this up, because the last thing I want to do is sound certain, you know, of what I'm talking about, other than the certainty that, yes, biolabs exist. Yes, in 2017, bioterrorism was allowed again. It was, you know, they undid the so-called law to prevent it. So, you know, some things are certainty, but others are just contextual, or, you know, if you get enough information, at some point the dots connect enough to, you know, provide overwhelming evidence, but not perfect evidence. But go ahead with what you were saying, if you still have a grasp of it.
Give me, just listening at where you were at, it's just convenient that all these things are just convenient. You know,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, everything is convenient. And now, you know, you got a president that's saying, well, I want everybody back to work in less than, well, do we know
yeah.
something
Easter.
That nobody else knows? Yeah. You know, do we
yeah.
know something that everybody else don't know? What is that? And then you have another thing is that all of a sudden we're looking at 60 Minutes. They, you know, some small pharmacy come up with this miracle cure. This has just happened last week that they found something that can actually counteract this virus. Right.
Right.
This is all of a sudden from nowhere, this group of people that do it. And 60 Minutes happen to be covering it. Well, I mean, they is that, you know, they got a post on the world like that. The other thing
yeah.
is, you know, and we're still talking media, you know, we're still talking media. And it's just too convenient. And it's to me, and like you said, all of it,
mm-hmm.
to me, it was just a test run on what really, really in the next few years, probably. In the next near future, this is going to be worse than ever. So to me, this is a trial run to what's to come. So
yes.
I'm like, people,
yes.
you know, be prepared.
Exactly.
And please do what you're supposed to do. Do your due diligence, like you say. And build a reserve that you don't get caught off guard like this again, that you don't have tissue and soap and extras, you know, stuff like
right.
that. You know, build a
right.
reserve up just in case, you know,
yeah.
it may not be this year, it may not be next year. But in the near future, this is going to come back around. Stuff like this, like the flu. You know, it keeps coming back, you know, A1, then it come back 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, what is this virus going to do? Is it going to come back a 20? Is it going to come back a 21?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
A 22. Yep.
Right. Is it going to build even more, you know, strength or whatever? So I'm just getting at, you know, just it's just everything is too convenient. And everything is too hush-hush, and there's not enough information getting out to the people to really give them the proper judgment and discernment of whatever, other than the fact that it's causing mass hysteria and panic and people being frantic and everything to that effect.
Pain.
Right. And so it is what it is. I just wanted to bring that back around that you brought up that thing that took place. Those are real incidents that took place. And what I wanted to bring up that it was a doctor in Paris that was researching it in the early 50s, and it was another doctor that was researching it in the 70s, and he found that doctor and told him, "We're going to go dig this up in Alaska," and they actually went and dug it up. And they patent it, so it's actually here. They have it in patent. Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, it's a record. Okay, so just thought I'd put it out.
Well, thanks. I can conclude now since I got to get going. But that's been extremely helpful, and I appreciate it. So as Dane Wigington says, and as I concur, as the biosphere collapses, the power structure plays their cards. Because the power structure, people in elite with access to scientists and whatnot, know that the paradigm that we're living in is not sustainable. So since they're addicted to control and power and will stop at nothing, just like a virus, they'll stop at nothing to hold on to what they've got. It's a cancerous sickness, you know, in the human condition. But yet, you know, I hope this blog gives an example of the miracles that overcome it too, the serendipitous events where something happens and you keep struggling, you overcome the evil. And, you know, as in Matthew 10:16, it says, "Be wise as serpents." Indeed, the serpents have, as I've rhymed, what we have forsaken, evil has overtaken. In other words, it takes the blindness of a population, you know, when they're stunned in surprise. We don't see what's going on when the towers free fall. You know, I've written a poem about that. It's blind disguise, pain surprise blinds the eyes, framed disguise mind denies. So I'll close with that, but again, all the best in keeping your spirits up and courage to fight this battle of salvation. So that's it for today.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You want to know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.